This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Everyone, ladies and gentlemen, yes, I'm back today as we had a hiatus last week, and I want to give my thanks to the program that substituted for me, and I did catch it, and I participated in the elements, by the way, in case you weren't aware of it. Last week we had Joe Church, and we also had TG from Georgia, and we had Harry from Boston. All of them contributing to a very special, very rudimentary, fundamental basics of scripture that they feel and I feel that we should know in these times that we live, folks, to prepare us in our hearts. And I want to give thanks to all of them once again, particularly Joe, for putting it together and doing a very nice study. It was excellent. And, you know, today in the first hour, listen up. I'm going to delve into some of that great deception in these last days that you need to know, that we need to be more aware of than we ever have before. Because these are the times of apostasia, of church apostasy. You know, that word church is not in my scriptures. I can't find it anywhere. But I can find the word called out ones, or the term called out ones, the ecclesia. Those who are called out of the world of Babylonian captivity and come together as believers in fellowship. But as far as churches and buildings, we use that term, sure, but it's not really meant to be. It's a very misleading term, and many others have been used in a very misleading way, too, as we know, as we always talk about on these programs. So today is the 18th of May, 2019. We are in some very interesting times. We just passed the 71st anniversary now of the evil fig tree. The evil fig tree planted in Jerusalem in the year of 1948, my friends. Now, that generation is a generation of time spanning 70 to 72 or so years. There's a little variation, a little bit extension here because of the calendars that we use. But it's very important to note that all of the things we expect of that generation, friends, are happening as we speak. They are taking place. Almost every one of the seven things that Jesus talked about has taken place really fully now in these days in which we live. The only thing that remains, essentially, is the abominator, the desolator, and he has to come. He has to come to heal what is about to happen, to heal the nations of the world and bring what he calls peace to the world, you know? So I go to the scriptures again, as I always do. I just finished the Gospel of Mark 14 just today, and I want to hearken back to Mark 13. Because Mark 13 is a very important chapter, folks. In the Gospel of Mark, you know, we have the Lord speaking to his apostles. And get this, they themselves couldn't understand all the things that he was trying to convey to them. Can you imagine it? They walked with him, physically, in the flesh. And even they were doubters. Even they were dubious, skeptical. Even they couldn't understand some of the things he was trying to say. And he said that repeatedly to them. You know, he said, get thee behind me. You're not listening. You're deceived. And do you not understand? Why is it you can't understand what I am saying? We understand why the enemy can't understand. They are blinded. But you should understand these things about the end times, because he was speaking to us today for our benefit. Those are the prophecies of now. And he's talking about what's going to happen when those hailstones come down upon Jerusalem, that earthquake takes place. Already they've had a minor quake reported in the region now of Jerusalem. But there's going to be a massive earthquake there. There's going to be one big explosion. And then there's going to come from heaven some incredibly large hailstones that are going to take them down, all of them who put their fist of contempt in the face of God all of these years. And he tells us, you know, in 14, verse 22 onward, he says, for false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall shew signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even mine elect. But take heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. In those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars of heaven shall fall from the skies, and the powers that are in the heaven shall be shaken. These are the times which we're heading toward, ladies and gentlemen. Mark my words, they're coming. Then the angels shall be sent down and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now in 28, he says to his apostles, what you've heard many times and you read many times, now learn the parable of the fig tree. What fig tree? Well, he says, when her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. In 29, so ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass, this last generation, till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, that is, this heaven and earth age, but my words shall not pass away. Of that day and that moment or hour knoweth no man, no, not even the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father only. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is come when the Son of Man returns in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them who know not God, nor obey the gospel of him. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house. Now this is good, because this is reminding you of an adulterous situation here on a very plenary level. But it goes beyond that. He says in verse 34, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the, if you will, the porter, to watch the place, to watch the house. In 35, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. That means in bed. In bed with what? And what I say unto you is, I say unto all, watch, because if you're sleeping in bed with the wrong Jesus, the fake Messiah, that is what he considers to be a false Jesus, a fake sleep, a fake, if you will, marriage. Now, that's the one thing that we must remember of everything we know in these last days, is that there is a false one coming, posing as the real one, and he's looking for a bride. And this church, this rapture church, this pre-tribulationist rapture church, this Zionist church, is going to be looking up with open arms and seeing him coming and grasping and latching on to him, folks. That's what they're going to do. That's what they're locked and loaded for, that fake Jesus. Their theology, their doctrines of the Pharisees are, to me, all evident. We're going to play you some interesting audio today of one of our friends online who has pretty good video up on this subject, particularly you people in Texas, where you have John Hagee and you have some of the others who are extending their ministries, growing by leaps and bounds, raking in the big bucks, and all preaching that heresy that we just described. So the bridegroom is going to be there and coming in when he finds the bride in bed with somebody else. You know, that's an adulterous situation. Not good. And that's what he's talking about, plain and simple. Pray not your flight be in winter, but in summer. Why? Because that's when the harvest has come. Not in winter when he's least expected. The real Jesus will come at that time, not winter. So I just wanted to share that with you, because when I read every day, from day to day, chapter by chapter, I just get so enthralled, because I can feel the moving of the Holy Spirit, you know, descending on me. And having read the whole Old Covenant, I now get a whole different perspective, you know. I get a whole new look at the Scriptures. As I said, we are very fortunate today that even the apostles themselves could not walk with Jesus totally in understanding, even though they walked right with him. They clasped hands with him. They embraced him. They were with him at that Last Supper, l'ultima cena, you know, the Last Supper. And yet some of them still had to be convinced of things. So we are very blessed and fortunate today that we have the Holy Spirit, you know, that we can celebrate the Pentecostal Spirit today, that we know things that even they did not see then. And I'm so grateful for that, that we need to know these things today. Now, today America/Israel is going through an incredible rebellion from within. Forces within these so-called two parties are fighting each other. They're battling each other. They're striking all kinds of fisticuffs over issues that are very important, such as the right to life, abortion, and so on. And yet, all of these are the result of that apostasia in this last time, this last generation, that they have embraced idols, America. They have embraced a false religion and a false Jesus. And in turn, God has sent them into a confused mindset, a warlike mindset, that they might be in derision, as David noted in the Psalms. And we are in derision today because we don't understand politics is not the answer. Political debate will not resolve a thing. Presidential elections have come and gone in my lifetime, and I've seen enough of them to make me spin around and just lie down and get a little break and go to bed and stay asleep, because it is gnawing at us all. Tweedledee, Tweedledum. There isn't a dime's worth of difference between them. But in many states, there is a dime's worth of difference on essential social issues. And that's wonderful in some degrees. You know, I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But the most evident thing that we need to understand is that we have a government. We have an administration now in place that was put in place 2 years or so ago, 3 years now, And this government is obeying the master, not of the house, but the fake master who's taken over the house. This administration in Washington is subservient to that same beast of revelation, so to speak, that same synagogue of Satan that Harry Truman embraced in order to get elected, selling America's interest down the river, selling his soul, selling your soul down that river of judgment by embracing Jerusalem as the capital of this Zionist regime. This is prophetic to the nth degree, but it is not good. It is bad. So the question now comes up, the question that I found to be quite adequately addressed in a particular video by Vice News Online that deals with this question about why do so-called evangelical Christians embrace the state of Israel so much? And I'd like to start at that starting place right now in this video and see if we could play some of it, and quite frankly, not all of it, but most of it I think is pretty good. So let's give it a roll, Sam.
Now, much of this support has been attributed to a strong, wealthy, and very pro-Israeli lobby in America, which is true, but you'd think that the majority of the strength behind this lobby would be the Jewish community in the U.S., which is only partially correct, because as it turns out, in terms of sheer numbers, the evangelical Christians from America's Bible Belt make up the majority of this lobby's power base. So we sent Thomas Morton to find out why a bunch of born-again Christians from Texas are so in love with the nation of Israel.
This may be the most important prophetic spot in the entire Bible, because the final act of the book of Revelation is going to begin right here at this place. The Bible teaches that Russia, Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, Turkey, and other nations will come down under a UN flag, and they will invade Israel at this particular point. Can you imagine? Thousands of tanks out here in this valley, rumbling, fighting, firing. Can you imagine jet airplanes screaming overhead? The battle is going to be fierce.
The horrific multinational fighting this preacher is describing is the Battle of Armageddon, which is supposed to happen right here, just as soon as Israel is a fully Jewish state. Which is why a bunch of Christians in Texas have become the most fervent Zionists on God's green earth.
While most Americans probably think that the pro-Israeli lobby is largely a Jewish thing, actually the most of its support comes from right here in the Bible Belt, where evangelical Christians overwhelmingly believe that Israel has a right to exist because God said so.
Go to the phone right now and call that number and say, yes, I'm going to stand with Israel. I'm going to bless the people of the Bible. I'm going to bless God's chosen people.
Will those of you in this audience who support the state of Israel stand to your feet and give a shout of support?
While a lot of Israel's financial support does come from Jewish wallets, there are close to 70 million evangelicals in America versus less than 14 million Jews worldwide. And given that roughly 80% of these Christians support Israel, that makes American Christians the largest pro-Israeli voting bloc in the world, about four times the size of the Jewish community on Earth.
There's a lot of money behind the Christian Zionist movement. This church behind me, Cornerstone, is one of the biggest supporters of Israel, not just among Christians, but in the world. The pastor here, John Hagee, has raised an estimated $70 million over the course of his ministry.
Pastor Hagee also founded Christians United for Israel, or CUFI, which is the largest pro-Israel lobbying organization in America, even bigger than AIPAC, the organization most people assume dominates the American-Israel lobby because it's the biggest Jewish one. What's dicey about CUFI is that a good deal of their money for Israel is spent on buildings and organizations in the Israeli settlements. These are massive Jewish communities built well within Palestinian territory in violation of international law. The settlements are run by some of the most fanatical Zionists who believe the Bible entitles them to their land and that ceding any of it back to the Palestinians would be a violation of God's law.
God gave them that land. They own that land.
While there's nothing wrong with Christians supporting Israel, the way these Christians have chosen to do so puts them firmly on one side of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, one that's directly opposed to the U.S. government's official policy, and are using their massive political power and money to oppose the peace plan John Kerry is currently trying to push through. That's the two-state solution that would give the Palestinians the West Bank and Gaza Strip, and the Israelis would get the rest, hopefully ending all the violence. The evangelicals not only lobby Washington and send money to Israel to fight the two-state solution, they also make up over 40% of American tourists in Israel every year with popular Holy Land pilgrimage tours. Many of these tours actually have stops in the Israeli settlements, which are used by the settlers to solicit donations for their cause.
We're in Karnei Shamram, Israeli settlement. We're about to meet Sandra, who deals with Pastor Hagee in the United States. She is not a Christian. She's an Orthodox Jew. And right now she's hosting a bunch of Christian Australians who are touring the settlement and hopefully coughing up the bills.
To make the settlements more relatable to their Christian friends, Sandra and her organization use the Palestinian territory's biblical names of Judea and Samaria.
It is for us as people who believe in the Bible is to stand on the moral and spiritual right of the Jewish people to Judea and Samaria. Amen?
Amen.
Good.
After Sandra's presentation, we reboarded the bus to see the settlement for ourselves.
Come on, guys. I want you to try to punch him in the stomach. Let's give it a try. Unfortunately, our Arab neighbors also have these kinds of guns. You need to be protected with something like this.
How important is Christian support for specifically for the settlement?
Christian support for the Jewish presence in Judea and Samaria is critical because it's a very large group of people all over the world, and we need to hear their voices, and thank God they are raising their voices on this issue louder and louder every day.
Another Christian Holy Land tour leader is evangelical pastor Irvin Baxter, whose end-time ministries takes its flock to Israel twice a year. The focus of their tours is actually the real reason evangelicals overwhelmingly want the Jews to control all of Israel, which is the actual end times, as in Armageddon. Because, according to their interpretation of the Bible, Jewish control of the Holy Land will lead directly to the second coming of Christ.
The word Armageddon is actually two words, Har Megiddo, or Hill of Megiddo. You are standing on the Hill of Megiddo right now. The final act of the book of Revelation is going to begin right here at this place. And when Israel's about to be defeated, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ himself will intervene. It says it this way, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. He is going to defeat the Antichrist. He's going to defeat the false prophet. Both of them will be cast alive into the lake of fire. At that time, Satan is going to be bound for the next 1,000 years, and we are going to crown Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Real quickly, I will take time for a few questions.
What will be happening in Maryland at that time?
Well, I can't tell you for sure if Maryland will still be there or not.
In addition to Armageddon, Pastor Baxter's End Times tour hits all the other local attractions associated with the apocalypse, including the most contested piece of real estate on the planet, Jerusalem, which houses some of the most sacred sites for Jews, Muslims, and Christians alike. It's also where Jesus lands at the grand finale of the End Times, which doesn't pan out so great for the Jews.
Two-thirds of Israel will die. It's Zechariah 13, I think, maybe verse 7, 8, 9, right in that area.
Yeah.
That two-thirds will die. One-third will be brought through the fire, and that one-third will then turn to Messiah in mass when he comes back. And the scripture says that they will run out to him, and when they bow to worship him, Zechariah 13:6 says they're going to notice he's got wounds in his feet and in his hand, and they're going to say, "You're Jesus? Oh, Messiah, we've been so stubborn, we've been so proud, we've been so blind. Could you ever forgive us?" And 2,000 years of blindness is going to come peeling off the Jewish mind. And those of us that have been up, caught up in the rapture and come with Jesus here too.
Oh, because the Christians have been raptured out.
All who are born again
will
have been raptured. When Jesus comes, we'll be caught up to meet him in the air.
Yeah.
And then we will come with him to the Mount of Olives. And so we're going to be watching this whole panoramic thing unfold as the Jewish people turn to their Messiah. We're going to be converting people by the hundreds of thousands during this time. It's going to be the best of times and the worst of times.
While the two-thirds of Jews who die are definitely getting the worst of times into the stick, it's a little less clear how the rest of the world fares in the pastor's end-of-days scenario.
Can America get on the right side of Armageddon by supporting Israel?
Americans can let their legislators know, support Israel. Right now, under the President Obama administration, there seems to be a drift somewhat away from Israel, at least a determination to force Israel to do what America thinks it should do.
The only way for Israel to endure and thrive as a Jewish and democratic state is through the realization of an independent and viable Palestine.
The Jewish people should say, look, this is our promised land. The Bible says we should not give it up, so we're not giving it up. You have to respect our religion.
Aside from potentially...
All righty, we'll stop right there, Sam. Thank you, thank you. Had enough? Have you had enough, folks? Well, now you're understanding, if you're a newcomer, why it is that so many people who are not religious, who are not Christian, and who are Christian, true Christian, are befuddled and absolutely besieged in the mind with constant propaganda, which is supposed to come from the Word of God, but does not. You see, those of you who understand the true Israel of God, which obviously is both spiritual Israel but physical Israel today, understand that that regime in the Middle East represents what I just described to you from Mark, the evil fig tree. Now, they don't discuss the evil fig tree. They don't discuss the figs, the two figs, the good and the bad. And what Jesus said about the end times when he comes, that fig tree will be totally destroyed. The fig tree was planted in 48 by whom? By those they call themselves and are called Jews. And they are not Israel. True Israel, of course, is an entirely separate entity. True Israel is not made up and wrapped up into one Jewish tribe called Judah. But they say it is. They say they are all of Israel. Nowhere in the scriptures is that even hinted at. But what is specifically spelled out in the book of Zechariah and in Ezekiel and in Malachi, all of these minor prophets as well, is that two sticks will reunite. The two sticks of Judah and the house of Israel. But Judaism, Zionism, Jews, and these so-called children of God who are Kenites, they are not of Judah. Jesus made that very plain in Revelation 2:9 and in 3:9. I know the blasphemy of those who say they are of Judah and are not, but do lie and are of the synagogue of Satan. So we have a whole false theology totally built over propaganda, disinfo, theological seminaries that have graduated countless thousands of pastors in the tradition of Cyrus Ingerson Schofield and his kinsmen, who have rewritten the Bible, have written an entire commentary, the Schofield Notes, and with it a whole slew of other commentaries that rewrite the Bible word for word, so that today those who are of Israel, true Israel here in America, the 10 so-called lost tribes who crossed over the Caucasus Mountains, don't even know who they are. They're worshiping Satan's children, calling them Judah, and they consider themselves what those Jews consider us to be, and that is Gentile. It is absolutely topsy-turvy, upside down. But that's what the scripture says. It says false teachers will enter in, and Paul spelled it out. Grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. They are the wolves, folks, the false pastors, fake teachers of the word, whom Jesus said he has utter contempt for. On that day of judgment, they will be in big trouble. He says, be gone with you. I never knew who you were. Oh, what a horrible time. You don't want to be part of that. We'll come right back with much more Rick Adams Uncensored.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Get back at 'em with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger, on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
And thank you all. Thank you all. We're back now. Isn't this amazing, folks? This is the, quote, Christian religious community in America and parts of the world in Christendom. And they are locked and loaded to stand behind the state of terror in the Middle East that has the name Israel attached to it. But in no wise does it fulfill good prophecy in the scriptures, quite the contrary, the opposite, because it represents the opposite seed line of God's seed line, spelled out in the book of Genesis in chapter 4. That is the seed line of Cain and his children. 5 is Adam and that generation, 4th. You know, even a child can read these things. Even a child who can read and write can understand simple things, and these preachers are not children. Although you might say they are children in the biblical sense of Isaiah chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, God has sent us fools, children, who are teaching lies and fables, deceiving the very elect of God and his children in the pulpit. One thing God hates, as you know, from, well, obviously from Solomon and the 8 things that God hates so much, one of them is a lying tongue. And especially if that lying tongue is in the churches, as they call them, in these cemeteries, in these religious institutions. Preaching and teaching a fantasy, can't even get their history right, can't even get their prophecy right. The Battle of Haman Gogan is America, Israel. It is not that land that calls itself Israel in the Middle East. And the Battle of Megiddo, the gathering place, is God's battle against the forces of evil. The forces that will be the religious forces of the angels of Satan himself against God. That will be his battle, and that will be his only. There is no mention of Jews, no mention of Kenites being saved there as Israelites. But Jesus does say, and in Daniel it says it, in Malachi it says it, Ezekiel, that the two sticks will reunite, the house of true Israel and the house of true Judah. Not Jews, not those who call themselves Jews, and not the Kenites. So it's so obvious to anybody who really is able to see it, because God has given them eyes to see and ears to hear. But for those who don't, for those who are raking in the millions and millions of dollars for their own accumulation, and then raising more money to help steal land from the indigenous peoples who live there now, and even kill them in the name of Yeshua Messiah, I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand in their shoes on Judgment Day. I don't want to stand in their shoes. I told you a few months ago that I came across some people when we were out. We were a couple of us gathered studying Scripture in a restaurant, and they overheard us talking, and they befriended us, and they were talking about how their church, which I'm well familiar with, another Baptist Bible-believing church, was fighting abortion and this, that, and the other. And then one of them, the couple, the fellow, said that he is a part of this movement in Israel, that is the land that calls itself Israel, to build a temple, the third quote-unquote temple. And I was aghast. We sort of smirked and said, wow, boy, that is like saying I am building the house of Satan for Satan when he returns. That's exactly the temple that God is talking about. The temple of doom, the temple of Satan in that body, that edifice, coming to rule as the fake Jesus. And these people are confused and bemused and deceived into thinking that that is the same Jesus, that Jesus will come to bring the Jews back into the land in the millennium, and they will rule over all the others in perfect harmony and understanding. When Jesus says they will be destroyed, Jesus says specifically that there will not be one stone unturned upon another. And in the day ahead, the day of the great white judgment throne of God Almighty, it will be better for the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. It will be more tolerable for the Sodomites than it will the rulers of that city. Now, who are the rulers of that city? We see them today. Netanyahu, Levy, Gantz, all of them. Likud, Labor. Those are the rulers who, in their lineage, were responsible for the murder of the prophets. Read it in Revelation 17. The murder of Christ on that soil. And the murder of the apostles. That is not God's lineage. That is not God's people. That is not God's Israel. I'm sorry. And yet they're raising more billions and millions of dollars to support those who hate Christ, who hate God. And I try to tell these people, well, it was nice to know you, and good luck, and whatever happens, happens, okay? I didn't want to try to impress upon them the nature of what they're trying to do as being evil. But I gave them a card, told them to watch the TV program and so forth. And maybe they did, maybe they didn't. If they're led to come out of this Babylon, fine. If not, then what can I say? You know, that's up to God and them. But now, to dovetail with what I've just introduced to you, I was reading Chuck Baldwin again last week. And Chuck Baldwin, the columnist, who is quite good now, I think he's really advanced to the high plateau, has written again based on what he wrote in 2017. He wrote in 2017, The Truth About Donald Trump. And in his recent column, he talks about Donald Trump today and yesterday and what he really is all about. Trump spent his entire adult life scamming people out of billions of dollars. He declared 7 bankruptcies, folks, 7 of them, which he brags about, costing investors, employees, and consumers multiple billions of dollars. Doug Heller, the executive director of Consumer Watchdog, said that Trump is the most egregious, almost comical example of the disparity between what the average American faces when going through bankruptcy and the ease with which the very rich can move in and out of a bankruptcy situation. And so he goes on and talks about all of Trump's entire life in business. He recites and once again refers to what he had written in 2017. And then he goes on and on and on and talking about the campaign trail where he, Mr. Trump, bragged about putting Hillary Clinton in jail in just about every city in which he traveled and held a rally. But after becoming president, of course, he gushed all over Bill and Hillary, calling them good friends and saying that they are just good people, wonderful people, honest people, lovely people, you know, his words. Of course, that's exactly what he said repeatedly about all of the other criminals that he has embraced after denouncing them, of course. Yes, he proposed to drain that swamp in Washington, and afterwards, as soon as he was seated, what did he do? He continued to fill the swamp with all of the special interests, all of the Mnuchins and all of the Rosenbergs, and on and on and on and on it went. So we can't even count the names of the people that have come and gone and moved on in other ventures. He promised to get America out of all these internal incessant wars and foreign intrigue. What has he done? Quite the contrary. It hasn't been just him. It's his owners, his controllers, his power brokers. We understand that. That's just the point, is that Trump is not president. He is nothing but a minion, nothing but an errand boy, nothing but a water boy, if you will, of those who pull the strings. And who are those people? Well, those are the same people these evangelical Christians worship, the same people these Zionists in the churches, in cloaked, the vestments, if you will, of churchianity, love. What has he done? Over and over and over, Trump is dropping almost 4 times more bombs than Barack Obama, over 5 times more bombs than George W. Bush, which included military invasions of 2 countries. This is Chuck Baldwin speaking now. He goes on to talk about the expansion of these wars. And now, of course, we know threats made to the nation of Iran and Venezuela and communist China, which now we're beginning to understand the real purpose of World War II. Was to help bring about communist conquest in America and worldwide, vis-a-vis Russia, and Red China. The betrayal of mainland China in 1949, folks, to the communist Mao Zedong was the most consummate act of betrayal outside of the war itself. as Chuck Baldwin says, Trump lied again. He lies and lies and lies and lies, and the media never, never talk about those lies, do they? They never correct him on that. No, as long as he's towing the line for the little, tiny, besieged, surrounded, threatened state of Israeli, he is their favorite whipping boy. It's he and Barr and Burr and Bagg and Roth Rosenstein. Oh, yes, they're all fighting with congressmen. They're all going back and forth with the Democrats, and it's a show. It's a comic show, isn't it? Meanwhile, Rome is burning. The economy is just about at its very end. Debt is now totally unserviceable in all of the states, all of the private ventures, and every other aspect of economics. War is a continual threat. We live in a welfare warfare society today. Trump has not made America great again. He refers to AIPAC and William Dean and how he noted that Trump's border wall promise remains 90% broken. Indeed, quite the contrary. They're coming in and they're given sanctuary. Trump will not build a wall. And if he were to build a wall, it will be with your tax dollars and Israeli benefits. How do you like that? They're good at building walls, Mr. Trump says. Yes, they are. The Berlin Wall, the Great Wall of China, the apartheid wall in Palestine. They're very good at those things. Read his lips. So, folks, he goes on and on, point number 8, point number 9, Trump lied. He said he loved government whistleblowers like Julian Assange and called WikiLeaks amazing, wonderful, beautiful, you're going to love it. And then took the exact opposite position, leading in the attempts to prosecute him for blowing the whistle on what was happening in the Middle East under Obama and Trump. And under Bush, all of these illegal wars for the benefit of the synagogue of Satan. Promise to make America great again. Yeah, like he can do it. What blasphemy. He goes all the way to the very end. And in the very end, Chuck Baldwin says, sooner or later, conservatives and Christians are going to wake up to the fact that Donald Trump is a consummate, corrupt con man. My fear is that they will not wake up in time for America to be spared from what this fraud is all about and what is about to rain down upon the world. Boy, you know, he's not far off the mark. He's pretty right on there. But the Christians and the conservatives, oh, they react to the rhetoric, don't they? Oh, he's against abortion today. Oh, he's for the flag today. Oh, he's for controlling illegal immigration today. Oh, he's for standing tough in the saddle like John Wayne and riding into the sunset after invading other nations and threatening them. The only way they'll respect us is if we threaten them and kill their people. Then they will love us. Then they will protect us. Then they will support us. Then they will humble themselves before us. That's not Israel today, my friend. Under King David, Israel was a just nation. It committed some bad things, yes, and David himself fell from grace. But you know what? In those days, they obeyed God. God told them to do things that he would never, never tell these people to do today in his name. Quite the contrary, because they were for justice, not for murder and rape, terror, occupation, dislocation, stealing of land. That's not God's way, quite the contrary. But these phony preachers today who are raking in the billions of dollars collectively, they are the ones that are standing full square behind Mr. Trump. They love Donald Trump. They constitute his major base of support in these key states. evangelicals and the Cosa Nostra lobby, as well as the economic control they wield over him. So, Mr. Public, Mr. John Q. Public, are you listening? That's the way it is. December 34th, 20 million A.D., I'm lying, hypocritical Walter Cronkite. Well, folks, that is the way it ain't. Now we know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. The seed line of the devil and his children are in control, and this is part of God's plan, folks. America and Israel, true Israel, has to go down to the very depth of depravity in order for the saints to start doing what they need to do, the latter-day messengers. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Any comment, we'll welcome. And in the next hour, I have some very interesting things to air about vaccinations, too. Get on the line. Rick Adams Uncensored.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Back now. If you have any comments in this hour on this video, then join us, 800-313-9443, the Evangelical Christians, and of course Chuck Baldwin's column, which I found very worthy of reading this week, as I normally do. He's usually quite long-winded, as I am, in his columns, and I just thought this one was remarkable. Didn't go far enough for me, but certainly you know, he spelled it out enough in political terms, okay? I go to the scriptural terms and look at where we are on that timeline. But let's go to the phones now. And I think our first call is from Barry in California. Hello, Barry.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Good. How have you been?
Good. I haven't talked to you in a long time.
I know.
My question is, the word Jew itself, is it in the original language, in the manuscripts?
I've never found it in the original parchments, no. The only words that I know of are Judea, which is the geographical area of that part of the world. We know of Samaria and Judea, the land of Israel, for a time being. And then the word Judah, which is the tribe of Judah, and the tribe of Judah today as it was then, divided indeed from the house of Israel. But still, those are the only two references that I can find. Jew is a bastardization from all of my studies, and it does not fit. The word has been bastardized and taken, just like many other words have been taken and added into the scriptures. But it is not a legitimate word, no. Does that answer your question?
So,
my point
of
view?
So that's part of the deception that's coming.
Right.
That is already here. Actually, it's Yuda, right? With a Y?
Yuda.
Yeah.
Yuda. Yes.
Yep, and also all the holy days have been replaced with holidays.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Here we celebrate holidays in this country, and we're still supposed to observe the holy days.
Yeah, I mean, holy. You know, the words themselves have almost no meaning today. They have almost no biblical significance, right?
Right. And it's just amazing how all these churches are being deceived.
Mm-hmm.
All these Christians are being deceived. And, you know, even with history, with the Bible, with a lot of things, you know, they just take it for granted what they tell them.
Right. Exactly. You got that.
And I'm glad that you are sharing the truth, and Republic Broadcasting is doing that.
Well, I mean, we may be an oasis in the desert. Almost said it right. In the desert, but you know, there are a few voices crying out in the wilderness today, and unfortunately for the world, they don't hear those voices. All they hear is the media orchestrated voices. So that's the way it has to be. The deception must continue until it's destroyed upon Jesus' return. Thank you very much. Good to hear from you.
Thank you for taking my call.
Right. Talk again.
Thank you for taking my call.
Great. You're welcome. All right. Be back with more calls after the break. Rick Adams, Uncensored.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.